I have a serious question for each of you. Just raise your hand or laugh or clap to indicate. Have any of you ever made a mistake?
Oh. I didn't want you to trip over the cord.
Thank you. Well, it seems we're all in good company today. Have any of you ever made a mistake with technology? Your phone? I do not have a smartphone. I have a smarter than me phone that autocorrect is straight from the devil. My son, years ago, texted us while he was in the Marine Corps doing some duty in another state and was coming home, and he was going to ask his girlfriend to marry him. Her name was Heather. The text said, "I'm going to ask Heavier to marry me." I have held that over his head for years. Anybody ever make a mistake with your computer? Computers aren't that smart, and it's always their fault. Well, let me begin with an apology to you this morning for my carelessness. Every week, after spending days, numerous hours working on these sermons, Jeff and I share a lot of time and thoughts together. And then on Saturday morning, usually, I'll get up early, take the sermon, and make the outline from it. I'm going to encourage each of you, if you haven't or didn't this morning, to send somebody to the tables to get your family an outline so you can follow us, because there are no slides this morning. I apologize. What I do is take the sermon, highlight the main points, delete all the supportive material in there, and leave just the main points, put a few blanks, etc., shrink the font, and send it to Jeff so he can post it online. Send it to Marcia if I can get it done in time so we can have outlines printed for the service. And then I save that as whatever the message is, outline, so as not to confuse it with the sermon. Because the computers get confused really easily. Have you ever noticed that? Well, yesterday, I saved the outline over the sermon. I've always heard nothing is ever really deleted. Haven't you heard that? That's not true. I called my son-in-law, who works for the military. We even tried a couple of DOJ tricks. Don't repeat that. Oop, that's out there now, I guess. didn't work. Jeff sent me several ideas and things to try. I even bought a program that is supposed to go to the deep side of your hard drive to recover such things. I'm probably on some watch list now. That didn't work either. So the sermon was gone, but I had the outline. So as best I could, I cried, I prayed, I threw up twice, and then I prayed some more and said, "Dear God, please help me, because we had services last night." So hence me telling you my apologies for my carelessness. Please forgive me. Please pray for me. And there are no slides. But I will apologize for my carelessness, but not for this message. Now, having said that, let's move forward, okay? I believe Romans 8:28, that God is still in the business of working all things together for good. So I got up this morning and said, let's see you work this one out for good. Moving on, it was Christmas. Not that far away since we had Christmas, remember? It was Christmas and the judge was in a good mood. And there stood a young man in front of him, and the judge asked him, son, what are you charged with? And he said, your honor, I am charged with Christmas shopping early. The judge laughed a little bit, and he said, well, that's not a crime. How early did you go Christmas shopping? And he said, before the store opened. So is that early shopping or breaking and entering and theft? It all depends on how you look at it. Two men looked out from prison bars. One saw mud. One saw stars. It all depends on how you look at it. Thank you for joining us this morning as we continue our series, Moving Forward. And today's message is Moving Forward with Outreach. The church cannot stop outreach. The church cannot skip a generation and survive. We must continue outreach. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 9 if you have your Bible with you or your Bible app. I'll get that up on your phone. Matthew chapter 9. We'll begin looking at verse 36 in just a moment. A little over 20 years ago, my family moved to Louisville, Kentucky, as I was beginning a new ministry there. Now, some of you know, some of you may not, but Louisville is also the home of Southeast Christian Church. Southeast Christian Church is the fourth largest church in America. It is a mega church that runs 23,000 in attendance every weekend. That is not the church that called me to preach. They don't know what they missed. Maybe they do. I hadn't been at that church that I was serving for very long till the leadership came to me one day and they said, okay, you've been here a while, you've kind of had a chance to look things over. How do you see us becoming more like Southeast? And I said, well, first of all, we need to change the direction of our outreach. And they said, what do you mean? I showed them the title or the headline of Southeast newsletter that they put out every week, which, by the way, is a newspaper, and our weekly newsletter. And I said, gentlemen, just look at this and think about it for a moment. The Southeast Christian Church newsletter is called the Southeast Outlook. Our church newsletter was called the Insider. See what I'm talking about? It all depends on how you look at it. It is no secret. There is brokenness all around us, no matter where you live. But I believe the church still holds the answer. Following Jesus' example, the church can respond to that brokenness in two ways. Number one, the church can be moved and motivated with compassion for the needs around us. Turning to Matthew chapter 9, beginning at verse 36, you find these words. When he saw the crowds, that is Jesus, when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. The message says, when he looked over the crowds, his heart broke. So confused and aimless they were, like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful. There is plenty of work to do. But, he said, the workers are few. There's more than enough work to go around. So one of the things he told them to do was to ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. But all of that started with that part of he was moved with compassion as he saw the crowd. They weren't close friends. They weren't in his knit little circle there. He didn't personally, as Jesus as a man, know them by name. He saw the crowd. And he saw the crowd was helpless and harassed like sheep without a shepherd. And it broke his heart. And it moved him with compassion. As we follow the life of Jesus through the Gospels, Jesus' list of compassionate outreach is extensive. He healed them. He fed them. He cured their diseases. He gave sight to the blind. He made the lame walk again. He even raised the dead because he was moved with compassion and he could meet those needs, and he did. And we have done the same. Even before this pandemic, MCC has been able to reach out to our community and surrounding areas in love, motivated simply by compassion for the needs around us. And since this pandemic, God has opened even more doors for us to do so. Mats for the homeless, backpacks for the homeless, coats, socks, hats, scarves, you name it, for those going through these cold winters without those things. We have partnered with many others in our communities, Helping Hand, It Takes a Village, the See You at Home, the Soup Kitchen, and on it goes to provide everything from peanut butter for the kids to bread and bread goods and products for the community. We've partnered with other churches. We even shared the news starting this weekend of one of the churches that's distributing milk and other things in the community. We're reaching out and we're moved with compassion because we know there are people in these times who can't even get out of their home, who can't go to the store, who can't drive. And people come and they get things for other people. And it's wonderful to see people doing these things for people around us to meet needs simply because they're moved with compassion. And we should keep on moving and being motivated with compassion to meet the needs that we can in our community. But, listen carefully, none of that, not even the miracles of Jesus, saved anybody. Only the cross and his resurrection can do that. And that takes us to our second response. Yes, be moved and motivated with compassion, and you do what you can, all of us, to help one another. But secondly, we can reach the lost with the gospel. Turn back with me to Matthew chapter 9. Now, earlier we began at verse 36. And I did that on purpose because now I want you to look at the verse just before it. Verse 35, what started this conversation here? It says Jesus went throughout all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. And everywhere Jesus went, and when he was preaching and teaching, he drew crowds. And they came from every town around, wherever he was at. And when he saw the crowds, he was there to preach and to teach about the kingdom of God. But when he saw the crowds, he was moved with compassion and did all of that. But saying that that didn't save them, look just a couple of chapters later. Matthew chapter 11, verse 20. You may not have caught this as you were reading through Matthew before, but here's Matthew chapter 11, verse 20. Then Jesus began to denounce the towns in which most of his miracles had been performed because they did not repent. Oh, they responded well to his help. They responded well to his compassion, to his miracles. They saw great things that Jesus was doing for them. But they were physical things, so much so that if you keep reading through the Gospels, people were not only coming themselves, they were bringing people, their friends, their family, their neighbors, to Jesus, and he was healing all their diseases, and all these things were going on. He was moved with compassion to do it, and then it gets to the point where he says, wait a minute, you're missing the point here. We're doing all these things, and Jesus was doing all these things because he loved those people. His heart was broken for them as they went through this life needing so much. And having been moved with compassion, he met those needs. But they missed the point that he was there to teach them about the coming kingdom of God. And it got to the point that was so overwhelming. He just denounced the towns where most of his miracles were performed. Can you imagine? Didn't take long, did it? I wonder how many people you know who are great takers, but they don't really get the point. Muhammad, according to the last census, we're still waiting on the new one, but according to the last one, is a village of over 9,000 people and growing. Our township is over 4,000 people and growing. Champaign County is over 200,000 people and growing, and many of them do not attend church or have an active faith. We need to be about outreach. Let me give you three simple principles to remember if you want to move forward in this new year, the year of the servant, and share with others the gospel of Christ. These three principles to remember. First of all, remember, it won't happen by accident. It's not just going to happen. It has to be intentional. Jesus said, pray for more workers. Don't just sit back and say, well, it'll all work out. Pray for them. God, send more workers. And in fact, God, equip me better to be one of those workers so I can work better in your harvest fields. How many of you can just think right off the top of your head of at least a half a dozen people that you really want to see come to know Jesus better? It's not going to happen by accident. If we move forward in outreach, it has to be on purpose. And isn't that the mission of the church? You see, Jesus never said, build it and they will come. That's still a movie. Jesus never said, build great churches and open your doors and trust me, on the weekends they will flock to your doors. No, the word he used was not build it. The word he used was go. Go into all the world. Preach, teach, baptize, and teach some more. Reach out. That's outreach. Now, let me say, secondly, not only will it not happen by accident, it will not happen by preaching alone. Okay. I'm good, but I'm not that good. I am a legend in my own mind. I'm not that good. Jeff, I love you dearly, man. You know that. You're not that good. In fact, Bob Russell, who was preacher at Southeast Christian Church for over 40 years, who built it from less than 100 to over 20,000 people, with the Lord's help, of course, and a lot of other great spiritual giants around him, he was once ready to speak at a convention. And he was just sitting at the table at dinner time before the time to speak with just people. And one of the guys sitting next to him didn't know who he was. He'd never seen him. He'd heard him on the radio many times. And he got to talking about Bob Russell. Said, Bob Russell's going to be speaking today. And he said, I don't know why people get so excited about Bob Russell. I've heard him. He ain't that good. Bob said, that was humbling. But I just have to wonder what this old boy felt like when Bob got up to speak. It's not going to happen by preaching alone. It's going to take all of us. Yes, sometimes we need to use our words. Sometimes we need to use our lives. Edgar Guest penned these words a long time ago, "I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather one should walk with me than merely point the way. The eye is a better pupil and more willing than the ear. Fine counsel is confusing, but example is always clear. And the best of all the preachers are the men who live their creeds. For to see good put into action is what everybody needs. I soon can learn to do it if you let me see it done. I can watch your hands in action, but your tongue too fast may run. And the lecture you deliver may be very wise and true, but I'd rather get my lessons by observing what you do. I might misunderstand you and the high advice you give, but there is no misunderstanding how you act and how you live. When I see a deed of kindness, I'm eager to be kind. When a weaker brother stumbles and a strong man stays behind just to see if he can help him, then the wish grows strong in me to become as big and thoughtful as I know that friend to be. And all travelers can witness that the best of guides today is not the one who tells them, but the one who shows the way. One good man teaches many, and men believe what they behold. One deed of kindness noticed is worth 40 that are told. Who stands with men of honor learns to hold his honor dear, for right living speaks a language which to everyone is clear. Though an able speaker charms me with his eloquence, I say, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day." And my friends, they can hear a sermon from any of you. Again, speaking of Bob Russell, he tells the story of one man who attended his church for years, came with his wife every weekend, but he himself was not a believer. He didn't even buy into this church or God stuff at all. And one day, Bob just bluntly asked him, "Why? Why do you keep coming to church every weekend? Why do you come with your wife when you don't even believe this stuff?" And Bob said, the man looked at him and answered very, very bluntly too, "Because I believe you believe it." As people look at your life, do they believe that you really believe what you say you do? It won't happen by preaching alone. It will come by living those sermons every day. And the third principle, let me share with you, is don't try to reach the whole world all at once. Can't do it. But you can reach your world. You can bloom, as they say, where you are planted. You can reach those within your circle of influence, your family, your friends, your co-workers. You can be effective in reaching and teaching others about how God is alive and real and working in your life, at work and at school and in your church, for that matter. Don't try to reach the whole world. Reach the ones you can touch. And then support those who are reaching others. But don't you try to do it all. How do we do all that? If we're going to move forward in outreach, how do we do that? That sounds good, another little cheery pep talk, but how do we do it? Well, if we're going to move forward in outreach, we got to get out. Outreach. Outreach. Let me say first, you need to get out of your comfort zone. How many times have you heard that recently? Get out of your comfort zone. God doesn't want us to be comfortable. He wants us to be obedient. Andy Stanley said, "Stepping outside your comfort zone is not a careless irresponsibility. It is a necessary act of obedience." John Maxwell said, if we are growing, we are always going to be outside our comfort zone. But you see, our comfort zone is where we can focus on what we like. Our comfort zone is where we can be doing things we're good at. Our comfort zone is being tasked with things that we know how to do. Our comfort zone is where we're pretty sure we won't fail. Our comfort zone is where we are, well, comfortable. But our comfort zone limits us. When we are comfortable, we're much less likely to move. How many of you, after a hard day at work, school, whatever it might be, have come in, loosened your belt, sat down in your comfortable chair, that recliner, turned on the vibrator and the heater, flipped on the TV, taken that deep breath, and gotten comfortable? And then you hear, honey, can you come here? I need some help. How many of you just spring right up out of that chair? And how many of you groan first? Oh. And though you are smarter than to say it out loud, I hope, you are thinking, I just got settled. I just got comfortable. And now you are calling me out of my comfort zone. God's plan for our lives always requires movement. You see, even if you're on the right track, you'll get run over if you just sit there. Get out. Move. Get out of your comfort zone. God calls you out of your comfort zone so you can rely on Him to let Him do with you what you cannot do without Him. That hit home to me Saturday morning so hard. I was so ready. I was so prepared. I had surrounded myself and gleaned thoughts from people all around me. Jeff was an immense help to all of this. My son-in-law, my daughters, I mean, countless people, things that have happened through the week. It was just, I was so ready. And it was as if God said, it's okay. I'm relying on Him this morning to do what I cannot do. I don't do well without a manuscript. I can't even provide slides so our computer people know where to change them. But the slide people will tell you, I don't even do well with the manuscript. They still can't tell where I am. God leads us outside our comfort zone to stretch our boundaries, to see Him use you in amazing ways you never thought He could. He leads you outside your comfort zone so you will seek dependence on Him. So first, get out of your comfort zone. And second, get out of your complacency. Someone said complacency is that little voice inside that tells you someone else will do something. Leave it alone. Leave well enough alone. Don't worry about it. Somebody else will do it. We say it in these ways. I've done my part. Let the younger people take over. But don't let them change anything. We've always done it that way. If it was good enough for Paul and Silas, it should be good enough for you and me. And my favorite, The King James Version is the only real Bible. After all, Paul drew the maps in the back. Get out of your complacency. How many times have you finally released the reins and worked with someone else instead of trying to do it all yourself, and then stood back in awe and had to say to yourself, and hopefully occasionally have even said it out loud to them, wow, I never thought of it like that. I never thought of doing it that way. Wow, this is great. Maybe we've been a little selfish inwardly and said, well, I wish I had thought of that. Why did we not do it this way before? Because we got complacent. So get out of your complacency. Get out of your comfort zone. Get out of your complacency. What is our takeaway? What I want you to leave here with after all of that, it's very simple. Don't be satisfied with where you are. Don't ever get stuck in a rut. We said last week, a rut is just a grave with both ends kicked out. Don't get stuck. Don't stay where you are. Always believe there's the next step. Always believe God is not through with you yet. Always believe no matter what He's putting you through or taking you through, that it's that word through that matters. I will even walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but I will walk through it. With His help, don't be satisfied with where you are. Father God, we thank You so much this morning that You could have just thrown up Your hands and said, I've had enough with these people. I'm just going to let them perish. But You didn't. You saw the sinful nature of the people You created. People You created in Your image. People You loved. So You came to handle the situation. It was us who wouldn't let You do the work. Men fought You from the start. Tried to kill You even as a baby. Tried to get rid of You lest You threaten our way of doing things. But You proved over and over again, You are much greater than he that is in the world. And You proved to us throughout Your entire life that Your compassion for us is overwhelming, and You do care about us and what we're going through. You do care about us getting through this life because You have a better place for all of us. You do love us. Now, Father, my prayer is that we will accept that love. That we will accept what You've done for us, knowing we cannot do that for ourselves. We cannot forgive our own sins. We have not sinned against one another. We have sinned against You. Oh, we've hurt each other. We've made each other feel bad. We've disappointed each other. We've even fought each other. But we haven't sinned against each other. Our sin is a transgression of Your law. You are the one who forgives. Now we are the ones who need to forgive one another as You have forgiven us. So continue to move us with the motivation of compassion to meet the needs that we can around us, that we might help each other get through this life, not just see through people. Help us to get out of our comfort zones. Help us to get out of our complacency and move forward and reach out to those around us with that saving message of Your love and grace. In Jesus' name, amen.